Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Shelters in Florida are opening up as Hurricane Ian gets closer and gains strength. The National Hurricane Center says the storm is located about 100 miles west of Grand Cayman with maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports Ian's on track to strengthen and make landfall along the western coast of Florida by midweek.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is warning that Hurricane Ian will have significant impacts across Florida. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell says it will be crucial for residents to heed all evacuation orders.
The threats from this storm, they are significant. They are serious. And so listen to your local officials. If they ask you to evacuate, listen to them. Make sure that you know where you're going to evacuate to.
FEMA says it's closely monitoring the storm's potential impact on states north of Florida, including Georgia and South Carolina. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has activated the National Guard in preparation for the storm's arrival. Windsor Johnston, NPR News.
Russian President Vladimir Putin's granted Russian citizenship to former U.S. intelligence contractor turned fugitive Edward Snowden. Putin signed the decree today, making Snowden and 74 other foreigners the newest citizens of Russia. Snowden's been living in exile in Russia for years. In 2013, he leaked classified documents about the NSA's surveillance activities in the U.S. and abroad, arguing he did so in defense of the public's right to know. A party with roots in the neo-fascist social movement post-World War II has won the majority of votes in Italy's national election. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports Italy's first far-right dominated government is poised to be led by Giorgia Meloni.
Meloni is young. She's 45 years old, and she grew up in this working class neighborhood in Rome that's actually known for left-wing politics. And yet when Meloni was a teenager, she joined the local youth chapter of a movement founded by supporters of Benito Mussolini after World War II. And she stuck by this ideology for years.
Joanna Kakissis reporting. Officials in Ukraine say that 23,000 Hasidic Jews have arrived in the small city of Uman to mark Hebrew New Year. NPR's Yulian Haida reports how the war has impacted the annual pilgrimage.
Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the founder of a major branch of Orthodox Judaism, is buried here in Uman. When he died more than 200 years ago, he asked his followers to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, at his gravesite, something they've done during the wars and regimes ever since. Usually the pilgrimage attracts as many as 50,000 people, mostly from Israel and the United States. Despite advice from those governments not to come this year, about half that number have come nonetheless. I've met pilgrims who've spent days driving here since the airspace is closed. There's also no alcohol sales and a strict curfew, something pilgrims have mostly respected this year.
Yulian Haida reporting. It's NPR. A military installation is the latest site of a series of recent drone strikes in the key southern Ukrainian city of Odessa as the Russian government faces mounting opposition at home to its war in Ukraine. The Ukrainian military says the drone attack overnight caused a large fire and explosion. There were no immediate reports of casualties. Ukrainian officials have warned Russia would use deadly drones supplied by Iran as Moscow's own arsenal is depleted following 7 months of fighting. After a series of recent defeats, the Russian government's drafting military-age men to fight. Many people have fled Russia. Others are staging protests. A backlash has also turned violent. Today, a gunman opened fire at a military draft office and injured a recruitment officer. Kentucky's parole board has ruled that a man convicted of murder for a 1997 school shooting will serve out his life sentence. Derek Operly with member station WKMS has details.
Michael Carneal shot and killed 3 of his classmates and injured 5 others in West Paducah when he was 14 years old. He pleaded guilty in 1998 to 3 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, and a count of first-degree burglary. The full parole board took up the case after a smaller 2-person board heard testimony from Carneal and some of his victims last week. Carneal's lawyer says he had undiagnosed paranoid schizophrenia and was grappling with bullying and the transition to high school when he committed the shooting. Last week, Carneal said he was still, quote, hearing voices after years of treatment and medication. For NPR News, I'm Derek Operly in Murray, Kentucky.
I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, in Washington.